Well, welcome to the local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Well, my guest today, I've been trying to get him in here for a long time, but he's always so busy. But I did manage to get him in there today. Welcome, Doug Smith.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Known as Dead Bug Doug.
Dead Bug Doug?
That's right.
You haven't seen there isn't a bug you haven't killed, is there?
Probably not.
Yeah. So Doug.
Been around a while.
You've been around a while. You've been around Jerseyville for a while, Jersey County for a while.
Oh, yeah. Hatched here. You're here all my life.
Yeah.
Probably been smashing bugs for close to 40 years. Yeah.
So, of course, I know you went to high school here. And never ever got in any trouble in high school whatsoever.
Oh, no. Heck no. If anybody never follows Facebook, they'll see some of my stories. But yeah, I was pretty ornery.
Yeah. Where did you inherit that kind of thinking from?
Yeah, I was youngest of eight kids. My brother just aggravated the heck out of me.
You were youngest of eight?
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Who's the oldest? Was the age difference?
There was 20 years difference between my oldest brother and me. Yeah.
Man, your mom and dad just wouldn't quit.
Well, mom was married before. Her husband unfortunately got killed and there was five kids, and then she married dad and had two girls and myself.
But I see.
I consider them my full.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they've been around since I have been. Yeah.
So you get out of high school. What'd you do when you got out of high school?
Kind of a young, dumb kid just drifting around. You know, I mean, put up a lot of hay through high school to toss some corn, cut corn out of beans, whatnot. I started at Walmart as a stockman and ended up receiving manager. Hated the inside. So I got out of there and kind of started topping trees and doing whatnot. And then I fell in. My dad retired from the Mormon's livestock feed business. So there was an opening in that business. So I kind of took off in that way. But the livestock in this country just disappeared. You know, I mean, cattle and hogs, everybody had 20 cows.
Even back then, you saw it disappearing?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because that was
our territories just kept getting bigger and bigger, you know, because lack of livestock, you know.
What do you think the cause of that was?
You know, just, I think, you know.
Because it has changed drastically.
Yeah, little businesses struggle, period, you know, and it all went to confinement booms and stuff where they raised thousands of head and stuff, and the guy with 12 sows and raising pigs off of them and 20 cows, it just got so competitive. The market wasn't there. And I even had some hogs and sows one time. And when it crashed, I sold the sows for like the heavy sows, I think, brought a nickel a pound. The light ones brought 3 cents, and the boar brought 2 cents a pound.
Not much money.
No.
Not back then.
And it just forced the little guys out, and it all went big, in my opinion.
And then they raised their prices.
Everybody else out of it,
And same way with cattle. There is some pretty cattle. There is some cattle farming.
There's pasture ground around here still, but like I said, every little farm had the hogs. They called them mortgage lifters. You know, there was always cash flow and the turnover that would bridge things, and hogs paid a lot of farms off. You know, they could raise corn, the farmers could, and if it didn't bring much, they could run it through a hog, and then it increased the profit, you know, putting it through a hog a lot, you know.
So you kind of wanted to be a farmer when you were
Everybody dreams to be a farmer, you know, but you know, I just like the outdoors, livestock, hunting, anything outdoors, you know.
So how'd you end up in the pest control business?
You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure I was sitting at a local tavern and a bug guy come in spraying bugs, and I thought, you know, I might check into that. And so I did.
What intrigued you about it?
I just thought there was a future in it. There wasn't nobody local, you know.
Okay.
And they all come in from out of town and stuff. So I took some courses and got up on it, took the test, passed it, started out, you know. Back then, you know, there wasn't a fast way of spreading word, you know, and being young, you know, I mean, Yellow Pages ads were high. When I finally stopped the Yellow Pages ad, you know, there was used to be just a Jerseyville book, and then you'd have the Tri-County book and then the Eagle book. And
I remember,
you know,
that.
You know, I mean, it wasn't long. You could spend $2,000 a month on just Yellow Page ads, and I did, you know.
Okay.
And it took a while trying to get the word out that I was in business without spending that kind of money advertising, you know, because I didn't have it. You know?
Well, I remember that you might have been in it for a while, but back in 1986, when I first came to town, and I bought the 109 Club.
Sure. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Remember crawling underneath that damn thing?
I got a hold of you. Yeah. I said, I think it had like termites or something.
What was it?
Yeah, it had termites.
You had a hole sawed in the floor, and I think the beer tappers were leaking underneath there. I remember I was crawling underneath that thing and come out of there just totally, totally covered in, I won't say it, but mud and everything else.
It was terrible. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It was
terrible. You remember that?
I remember. I was thinking, whoa, man.
Yeah.
That guy's worth whatever money he wants.
Been scared of anything.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, nothing bothers me, you know. And, yeah.
Well, we got it fixed, but, you killed them, but.
There was no room underneath there. And
no, there
wasn't. It was just mud and slop and everything else.
Today, there's nobody would go under that thing.
Yeah. Even the guys work for me
wouldn't
go there. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how.
Just a difference of time and difference of people and depends on how hungry you are.
Yeah. So how many years have you been doing it at that point in time in 86?
You know, that was pretty, I would say probably just 2 or 3 years.
2 or 3 years?
Yeah, maybe 4, something like that.
And things have evolved for you.
You
got a heck of a business now.
Yeah, social media has helped a lot, and I thrive on people being happy. If somebody's not happy, it's because I don't know it. You know, I mean, I'll just give them their money back if that's what makes them happy, or we'll make 10 trips there to do it. It's just the way it is. When you're in business, one bad word spreads 100 times quicker than a good one. So you got to do it right.
And the thing I like about you, of course, you've been my best guy for 38 years, is that if I call you up and I have a problem, and I tell you about it, you go, well, Chris, here, you need to do this. Now, if I could take care of it myself, I will.
Sure.
And you straighten me out on it. Like, hey, man, I think, I got these kind of varmints. He goes, you tell me how to do it. And if I say, man, I can't do that. And then you say, I'll be over. I'll take care of it.
Sure. Yeah. And I'm always willing to help anybody. You know, I mean, I tell people little home remedies that do it if that's their only issue. And just try to help people out because, money's tight, especially nowadays. I'm just always willing to help anybody. I'm not after we got to make a living, but I'm not after the buck.
Okay, we're going to educate some people on some things, just like you educated me and give me some more education. Like,
sure.
With termites, everybody gets, oh, termites, and you said, don't worry about it. We can take care of them.
Sure.
And I understand that you got to. With termites, there has to be a water source, and you got to eliminate that water source, right?
Actually, their nest is in the ground. I'll try to explain it quick, but it's called a dome. And in a city block in Jerseyville, say, there could be 2 or 3 colonies traveling out of that thing, foraging. They're built to clean up dead debris and fallen wood and tree roots and things like that. They say if it wasn't for the insects and the mold and stuff like that, you'd be up to your neck and wood debris in the wood area, so
they do have a purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and unfortunately, they get into your house sometimes. But like I said, there could be 3 colonies in the neighborhood working on the same house, or there could be 1 colony in the neighborhood working on 10 houses. And what they do, they leave this nest in the ground, kind of like a bee gathering pollen. Mm-hmm. They travel 2 little mud tubes, and they build tubes up your foundation and things to get into your structure. They eat the cellulose out of the wood and take it back to the colony to feed the colony.
Just kind of like bees.
Kind of like bees. And just like bees, they produce swarmers in the spring. And that's the winged termites that you see in the spring are the reproductives that's actually never ate any wood.
Ah.
They've just been raised in this dome or nest in the ground. And the ones that does damage is a little white cream colored looking character that kind of resembles a maggot with legs, And he's the one that does you damage. The termite colony consists of a queen, which she can live to be 60, 70 years old.
Whoa.
You have workers, soldiers, and swarmers. The swarmers are the reproductives that fly off and start new colonies.
Okay, your tip for people that think they have termites.
Just call. The thing I tell people, a lot of times they'll see winged ones in the spring of the year, and they'll say, well, we had some termites, but we sprayed them and they're gone. Well, that's just the winged ones. That's the reproductives. That don't mean the workers are still not there working somewhere. And we don't charge you anything to look. If anybody's got, for their own personal. Now, real estate transactions, we have to make out reports and paperwork and things like that. So we do charge for that. But anybody's home you know, and, you know, just on curiosity, yeah, we'd be glad to check it out. You know.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Doug Smith with me. He's been in the pest control business here locally for 40 years. And we're just going over a few of the ABCs and the 1-2-3s of what to do and to get those pesky critters out of the way and gone. How about rodents? Let's talk about rodents. Now, we're getting ready to be in the rodent season.
Sure.
Where mice are going to want to come inside.
You know, and I agree with you 100%. You know, research shows that they've done research with 0 degree climate and right next door 50 degree climate, and the mice can go either place they want to, and they say it don't make any difference. But they say a lot of the cover and the food supply and things diminishes in the, you know, fall and winter and causes them to come in more so. But I can't help but believe that the cold weather don't have something to do with it. You know?
Okay.
You know, in my opinion, our insecticides are way better than over-the-counter. But as far as a rodenticide, a lot of times I try to educate people. You know, mice, one of the things about mice, when you get a population, if you just set one mouse trap in the kitchen, you know, it's not enough because they get territorial. You know, it's no different than a buck deer or anything else. Mice are the same way. They can live in a 10 by 10 section in your kitchen, and if you don't have bait or a trap in that area, he's not going to get exposed or get caught, you know, because Bob has put out, pardon my language, piss markings, you know, to stake off his territory, and Joe won't go into it.
Okay.
So when you do mice, you need to have several traps or bait placements in there and then wait 3 or 4 days and shift everything to the left. So you're getting it in everybody's territory.
What's your feelings? What do you think about putting out bait? Is that good? I mean, is there any concerns about that?
You know, there is any insecticide or concerns, but not as much as people think. No. You know,
I'm just thinking about your pets
and stuff. You know, Bell Laboratories is mainly the rodenticides that we use, and I talk to them continuously to reconfirm what they've already told me. But in order, like if a mouse eats the bait and a dog eats your mouse, it's not a second generation to that aspect. They would have to eat like 150 mice in one setting.
Will the pets eat the?
Around the shop there, we've always dropped some. I've had pets my whole life.
And they just don't eat it?
They will, you know. But it takes so much a minute level to affect a little rodent than it does your pet. Now, naturally, you do everything possible to keep them from getting it. But vitamin K is the antidote to any rodenticide, which a rodenticide thins your blood and vitamin K thickens it. But like we've had a little dog, Ed, one time, he ate some, and I just used peroxide and shot down his mouth, and he puked it up, you know. And he's fine, you know. But he would have to consume a lot of bait in order for it to kill your pet, you know.
Yeah.
And Bell Laboratories stands behind that 100%, you know.
I don't know if you remember this, but years ago, the elevator at Hardin blew up.
Sure.
Had to dust.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a kid.
Right.
15 years old, and my dad was kind of like their main guy. He had to go there and go up and try to figure out some electrical things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it blew up. There was like a hole you could look down in the basement. Okay,
uh-huh.
And it was flooded with water.
Sure,
except there was like a black spot, an island. And I was looking down there, and I was looking at that island. I go, that's weird. So I took a rock. And I threw it down there. When I threw that rock into that black spot, all these rats. Talk about big rats. I mean, all these rats jumped off into the water. And as they were leaving the water, I'm talking about an area probably about 8 foot wide.
Oh, right? Yeah. Right.
They would go out in the water, and then these other rats who were swimming around, right back on, just filled up again.
Sure.
Woo. So I had a heyday there for
right, exactly. And we take care of that's one of our clients over there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a continuous job. You know, we keep them in check. They got that riprap dumped along the bank along the river.
Oh,
they dig holes
that.
And all through there. And, yeah, it's a continuous battle, you know. And I do use rougher stuff in commercial areas like that I would not use in residential, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, and that's what I'm saying with rodents. A lot of times, I mean, people insist sometimes just come and do it, you know. But it's an ongoing thing with rodents, and I just want to be fair, you know. And I can tell them, you know, our insecticides are a lot better than over-the-counter, but a rodenticide pretty much is a rodenticide. So,
And I know you spray for bugs on a daily basis. Oh, yeah. You know, hate bugs and spiders, et cetera. But we got to touch on something because we got a limited amount of time.
Sure.
And I want to touch on something that's come about in our area, and you can give a little history about it, about its evolving, because we never heard of it years ago, but now we got it. Bed bugs.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell the story on bed bugs.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, my dad, he was born in 22. He'd be 102 now, you know, and he always talked about having bed bugs as a kid. You know, in the summertime, they'd take their straw-filled mattresses out and beat them with brooms and try to get the bed bugs off of them and stuff. But then, I think it was long in the late 30s, maybe 40s, close to 50, DDT pretty much eliminated them in this country, you know.
DDT.
Yeah. They just didn't have any bed bug issues, period, after that, you know. And
you mean DDT, that's a poison?
It's an insecticide.
Okay.
Yeah.
That pretty much eliminated them. Okay.
Pretty much eliminated them in this country. And then, I don't know, I lose track of time, but, you know, 10, 15 years ago, the foreigners brought them back on the East Coast, and I was getting charts showing where the bed bugs were at. And as people would move from there, they'd start dragging them with them, and you could just see them march across the country towards Illinois, you know.
You were watching the charts and seeing it come this way.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the only response they really, because DDT was banned, you know, but the only response they really had was heat. When bed bugs start getting here, you know, I mean, you can spend upwards of $50,000 on heat machines, you know, to heat a house. You know, anything 125, 130 degrees kills them, you know. But I didn't want to jump that quick and spend that kind of money, although I would. But I was just kind of riding the storm. And the seminars I go to and the things I studied, they were on a mission to create modern day chemicals to kill bed bugs. Yeah. And like I said, been doing it 40 years. The first time I've ever seen chemicals come out with one bug on the label, and that's bed bugs. And that's basically because they didn't take time to research it on anything else. You know, they were just on a mission for that. And, you know, the heat machines, you drag them in there, it's time consuming, which we, you know, I'm just so proud of Dave, Matt, and Brent, you know, all three of them, you know. They just do phenomenal jobs. But talk about
bed bugs coming here. Cause we never had bed bugs
up
until just a few years ago.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But now a person needs to be telling how bed bugs are everywhere.
And people are not aware and really don't know what to do about it. You know, I mean, you know, mind you, it's expensive to treat for them, you know. I will say a lot of times we're half of what other companies are, but we do not use heat. You know, the industry says if you use heat, you need to spray. If you spray, you don't have to use heat. But we do have a process that you need to do to prepare to get ready, because what I call it is scorch and burn. We won't leave one inch of your house uncovered when we treat for bed bugs, you know.
People leave, you come in.
Yeah, and it usually 3 or 4 hours is dry and then go right back.
And then everything's cool.
I mean, it's a one and done deal.
Tell them, Doug, like you told me, that how where you can pick bugs up.
Anywhere,
you know, it's not that you're dirty or anything.
No,
you can get them
absolutely
from anywhere.
Absolutely not. I mean, you can sit in a chair where somebody's had bed bugs on them and they can get on you. You know, God bless them. Some of the less fortunate people in town, they'll be driving down the road and, wow, did you see that couch here? We'll swing back and get that. Well, they went back and got it, and little did they know it had bed bugs in it, you know.
Oh, shit.
And so you got to be careful going to yard sales and doing different things like that. We've treated houses that people work in a factory. They hang their coat on a coat rack next to somebody that has one or, you know, has bed bugs, and they transfer over into your coat, and you bring them home, you know.
What is that little bed bug? What kind of guy is he?
He's actually a roach family, you know, and he feeds on blood. He can live a year without blood, but he can't reproduce without blood, you know. And a lot of times if you drag one home, people try to think back a week where they got him from. Well, no, you need to think back way longer. I had two buddies. I don't tell stories on anybody that's got bed bugs, but I had two buddies, make it quick. They come in about a month apart here a year or two ago, and by golly, they both had bed bugs, and they couldn't figure out where they got them from. And this was like in April or May, you know. And as we got to talking, I said, well, you need to think back. They said, well, they went to Montauk and stayed in some cabins down there. I'm not going to bash any cabins or businesses, but they kind of thought maybe they come from there. And then the next guy come in, same thing, you know. And so that following fall in September, October, they went back and they asked for the same cabin. And they went in there, and sure enough, they found them. So it was 6 months before, when they brought them home, before they found out they had them. A bed bug is kind of a heat seeker, but more so he detects your carbon monoxide when you exhale. So he sets up shop where you spend a lot of time because you're there exhaling a lot. Like if you drop one off in one end of the house and your bedroom's clearing the other, he's got a year to find you, you know. And once he does, he comes across the mattress, feeds on you, goes back and hides. And it's usually some time before you actually catch this happening, you know.
And is he... Do you know you're itching him or something, or how do you
know?
Know
they say
do you
70%, not really, you know, 70% of the people don't, they say 60-70% don't react when they're bitten by a bed bug, just like some don't react with a mosquito. But he comes across the mattress and he feeds where your skin's touching the mattress, and yeah, they will itch. Usually he bites you 2 or 3 times in a row, so that's kind of a sign that it could be a bed bug instead of just one individual bite, you know?
And they leave some little small red marks on you, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then a lot of times you'll ooze a little bit of blood. So if you got white sheets, you'll see little blood specks on your sheets that's came from you. And then, you know, bed bugs are a myth. They can be anywhere, you know. You know, I mean, I'm not saying whose it was, but, you know, sometimes in an apartment setting, I've been places where it was, you know, 12 foot high up ceiling, and they were hiding in the drop ceiling coming down a wall 12 foot and 8 or 10 foot across the floor, coming up on the bed and feeding on you and then going back. So,
so you will find them and get rid of them, right?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Will kill those little rascals.
Exactly. You know, and yeah, I mean, it's just a one and done deal, you know,
yeah.
If it's prepared right. So people panic, and I'm not here to bash any other companies, but they try to get you on a monthly deal or something. And we've took over the Greene County Housing, and they had several companies in there that was going monthly, and I mean, they're just proud of us. We can go in one time and get rid of them, but people have to prepare, you know.
You know what, Doug? We've ran out of time.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I could go on forever about this, but yeah.
But, hey, any last words of wisdom?
No. Just be careful. Cross your T's, dot your I's. There's no sense of going through life in fear.
And
you know?
if they need you, you're there. Call, look you up on
Dead Bug Doug. Yep.
Dead Bug Doug.
Yep. If somebody don't know us, somebody will. They'll find us. We don't do a lot of advertisement because we about have all we can handle at times now, you know. Although I'll never turn anybody away, you know.
Well, you've always taken care of me.
Yep. And I appreciate you. I appreciate everybody. Appreciate everybody. Yep.
Well, you have a great day, and take care out there.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Take care.